We know when the Jewish people traveled in the Midbar, in the desert, so they lived limalo miderach hateva. They lived above the laws of nature. That basically they lived a miraculous occurrence. And they, how were they sustained? There were no stores, no clothing. So we know they had the big three. They had the man min hashamayim, the manna fell from heaven. They had the water from the well of Miriam. And they had the anei hakavod, the cloud of glory protecting them. And those are that's the way they managed throughout the 40 years in the desert. And in fact, that was the mistake the Meraglim made, the sin of the Meraglim, that they thought that one of the reasons that they became biased and they gave a false report is because they realized once they entered the land of Israel, the leadership's going to change. And they thought the highest level is the being living from the man in the Shamayim and not going back into the land of Israel and starting with the plowing and the planting. So they lived for, that's how they managed. In fact, the Ramban, Nechmanani, writes that what's the difference for what we call nature and what we call miraculous? What we call nature, Teva, and what we call nace is something that happens, really everything's a miracle. Everything that happens in this world's a nace. Something that happens every day, we call Teva, we call nature. Something that happens once in a while, we call supernatural. But to God, everything's, it's the same thing. There's no difference between miraculous and nature. In fact, the Ramban writes that when the Jews entered the land of Israel, and Yeshua told them, you know what? You're going to have to start planting trees and working the ground. They said, what? You mean if we plant, you mean food's going to come out of the ground? What a miracle. You mean a tree's going to grow 50 feet high? We can't believe that. All those miracles. But today, we take that as nature. If we had food falling from heaven, we'd say, wow, what a miracle. For instance, as the Bali Musa point out, it's a greater miracle that a baby is born than Tchiyas HaMesim, than the resurrection of the dead. Why? Because by resurrection of the dead, the body is there, you're just resurrecting it. When it comes to a baby born, from a putrid drop comes out a human being. But if you're an editor of the paper and you put on the headlines, baby born today, you probably won't have a job tomorrow. But if you wrote resurrection of dead happened, you'll sell more papers. So it sounds much better from the essence of a miracle, it's a much greater miracle, a baby born. So really, everything's a nace. But things that happen all the time, we call teva. And things that happen once in a while, and when the Jews in the Midbar, man, water coming, and anei kavod, that was nature. And for them, growing trees growing, food growing out of the ground, that's miraculous. So that's the way it was for the Jews when they entered when they were traveling in the Midbar. However, out of the big three, only one got a holiday after it. The Anei HaKava, what holiday do we celebrate in honor of the Anei HaKavod? So that is the holiday of Sukkot. There's two opinions in the Gemara. Whether Sukkot, why do we sit in the Sukkah? Is it because they actually built Sukkot and they took it down all the time? Or no, it's the cloud of glory. So the cloud of glory is the only one to get a holiday. We don't have a holiday over the man. We don't get a holiday over the water. How come? Why is the water and the man discriminated against? We don't have holidays. Only the Anei HaKavod got a holiday. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in his Sefer, in his Sichas Musar, points out that, he says, because the difference is, the first two, water and food, that's a necessity of life. In other words, to bring you into the world and not giving you food, that's this Mayikar Adin, that's what's expected of you. In other words, it doesn't show you love for someone when you give them things that they need. The necessities of life, that's expected of you. So obviously, if you're going to take the Jews out of Egypt and in a midbar, you can't let them die. So you got to give them water and food. But the Anei HaKavod, that made the trip much more comfortable. It protected them from the 90-degree heat. It protected them from the wild animals, whether it was human animals or four-legged animals. The Anei HaKavod made the trip very safe and comfortable. So that's why we have... So that's how... Anei HaKavod showed God's love for us, so therefore we have the holiday of Sukkot, because it shows he did more than he had to. But the other two were expected. Well, B, we do remember the mun every Shabbos. We don't have a holiday, but we cover up the chal every Friday night and Shabbos lunch. And one reason is because the mun, it came covered with dew on top and bottom. So we do. We remember the miracle of the mun every Shabbos by covering the challah. However, even though the water doesn't get a holiday, but it does get a shira. It does get its own song. And that's what we read about in Parshas Chukas this week. That we're familiar with the Shiras Hayam. We're familiar in Parshas Beshalach, when the Jews left Mitzrayim, and they were crossing the Red Sea, they sang Oz Yashir Moshe, the famous Shiras Hayam everybody is familiar with. That we all know. However, there's a not as well-known Shira in this week's Parsha. It's a couple of verses, a couple of psukim, and we're thanking God on the water that he gave us, the Bear Miriam. And it's something very, there's a striking difference between the two songs. The first one, they both start Oz Yashir, but in the Shiras Hayam, and the one that happened in Egypt, it's Oz Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. We see Moshe singing it together with Bnei Yisrael. Oz Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael is a Shira Zos. But in this week's Shira, Oz Yashir Yisrael. I don't have the exact language, but I think that's what it says. But the point is, Moshe is not mentioned. Moshe is not mentioned in this Shira. So the question, all the commentators are bothered, why? Why when it comes to the Shiras Hayam, we mention Moshe, but over here, Moshe Rabbeinu is left out of the Shira. Is that a genai? Is that like a positive for Moshe, a negative for Moshe? What can we deduce from this? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, why was Moshe's name left out? So Rashi writes, Moshe's name was left out because Alt Kavod LeMoshe. We want to give honor to all people, and especially Gedolei Hador, leaders of the generation like Moshe Rabbeinu. So what kind of honor? Usually you include someone by giving them honor. What kind of honor is by excluding Moshe Rabbeinu? So Rashi explains is because why didn't they want to mention Moshe in regard to the song of the water? Because what else happened with Moshe and water that wasn't looked upon so positively? And that's also, we read about the apparent sin of Moshe. Everyone agrees he did something wrong. I think we have 13 different mefarshim giving 13 different reasons what he did, what his sin was. But one opinion is that he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. So and that's what happened with the water coming out. So the Torah was concerned about honor to Moshe, that they were concerned that they would mention Moshe's name by the Bir Mayim. But the water, people would think, oh yeah, Moshe, he's the guy who hit the rock and he did that terrible thing. So we want to leave his name out to cover, like Rav Soloveitchik explained in a whole different discourse I won't go into now. But the reason why that Chanukah is mentioned very little in the Mishnah, in the Mishnah, is in the oral law, because one of the reasons given is because according to the Ramban, Nachmanides, the fact that the Chashmonaim took over the kingship, they were Kohanim, and they took over. They weren't from, they were from the wrong Shevet, and they took over the Malchus. So that's why the whole family was punished. So that's why, in order not to embarrass them, we leave them out. So similar concept here, that Moshe's left out. We don't want to embarrass Moshe. That's why this. That's why certain times. That's what the Chafetz Chaim writes in Lashon Hara, that you have to know when to not even. Even saying Lashon Tov could be Lashon Hara, because if you're gonna say something good about a person, you know people in the audience hate this person, they're gonna find the negative, they also shouldn't be said. So even though you were praising Moshe with the Bir Mayim, but the mere fact that you discussed Moshe in the concept in the context of water, that was enough. So that's why Kvodo Shel Moshe, in order not to embarrass Moshe, to give him kavod. So that's why we leave his name out. So that's why, that's how Rashi writes, why even though by the Shiras Hayam, he's in Oz Yoshe Moshe, over there, so here he's left out. However, the Shemin HaTov, one of the more contemporary common Mefarshim, he has a whole different Mahalach. He wants to say, we left Moshe out, it shows the greatness of Moshe. It's not just we were worried about his covet, and by mentioning him might denigrate him. It's the opposite. He was intentionally left out. And by intentionally being left out, it's the greatest honor to Moshe. How do we connect the dots on that? So he explains as follows. He says, because you need some historical context when each Shira, when did the Jewish people sing it? So we all know, when was Shira Sayam? Shiras Hayam was when the Jews, they were slaves for 210 years in Egypt, and then they left, and then like in the first week, they went ahead and they were singing the Shira, right when they left Egypt. When is this Shira taking place? We're coming to the end of the 40-year journey. They're about to enter the land of Israel. So the Shemin HaTov explains as follows, that what's the sign of a great leader? A great leader, he knows when to lead and he knows when to stay behind the scenes and when people should start acting on their own. In other words, when the Jewish people were children, they were just coming out, babies, they just left Mitzrayim, that a slave mentality, there was a lot of holding hands, a lot of coaching, teaching, like a child when he's born. The mother, the parents, they have to nurture the child. When they become 2, 3, 4, you know, it's one thing if you're carrying your child when he's 3 months old, that's a good thing. But when he's 30, he's still carrying him around, that might not be such a good thing anymore. There's a time in life where you have to show your independence, and there are times in life where you need your mentor. You always need a parent, a mentor, a rebbe, a rab. You always need them throughout your life. But at certain points of your life, you can't move without them. And other times in life, you just use them as an aid. You basically know where you're heading and you need some advice once in a while on what to do. So in the beginning of the journey, Moshe Rabbeinu was everything. He had to teach, and rightfully so. They were slaves and they were totally lost. Oz Yashia Moshe Uvene Yisrael. Moshe was holding their hands, carrying them, doing everything. However, when they got to the 40, when they got to the end of the 40, what's the ultimate leader when you could survive without the leader? If you can't do anything without the leader, something's wrong. Great leadership is giving it over to your children, to your students. As we say in Pirkei Avos, Vehemidu Talmidim Harbe. What do you mean Vehemidu? You stand them up. Is the ultimate Talmud who could become greater than the Rebbe. You teach the Talmud what to do, and then he has to go on in life. You always have a relationship, but you have to know what to do on your own. And the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu was, you know how great Moshe was? They didn't need Moshe. Without Moshe, they knew how to sing Shira. Moshe was the ultimate teacher, that even without Moshe there, they gave just as great a Shira without him. That's the ultimate praise. As we see, Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Jews were in Egypt, the 10 plagues, they were standing around doing nothing. Moshe did everything. The Karban Pesach was the first step they took. that they risked their lives to take the Seh, that's the thing they worshipped in Egypt, and they were able to risk their lives. That was step number one. Step number two was Kriyas Yamsuf. Vayah Yisrael is a Yad HaGedola. They saw the great hand. What's Yad HaGedola? Why the word Gado? Why not Yad Chazaka? Why not come up with some other adjective? So Rav Nissen Alpern explained, based on the Malbum, what's the difference between the word Ram and Gado? Ram al Kawagayim. The Ram is from Shamayim to Aretz. You're from heaven coming down to earth. Gado is I'm 6'2". From the ground to earth, that's how tall you are. So in the beginning, it was all Ram. God was doing everything. He was coming down. But what's the ultimate goal? You have to go from Ram to Gado. So Vayayzaz Yad HaGedola, already Moshe Rabbeinu got them in the mode that Nachshon and Aminadab, he walked in, the Yam didn't split until they actually went over his head. So slowly but surely, Moshe took people with slaves mentality and children, and he walked them through. And finally, after 40 years, they reached the highest Madrega, Oz Yashia Yisrael. They didn't need their Rebbe anymore. Of course, they needed him, but they didn't need him. He was able to teach them how to sing Shira on their own. And in fact, that's what we see as well. The Shemi Shmuel also points out on the sin of Moshe, on the sin of, or on the apparent sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the mistake? Why was the mistake that we see in Parshas Bishalach, Moshe hit the rock, and it was fine. It wasn't the wrong thing to do. He was praised and he was rewarded. In Parshas Chukas, he hits the rock and it was punished. They say he did. How come it was okay to hit the rock in Parshas Bishalach, but it wasn't okay? And you're telling me hitting a rock and water coming out isn't a miracle? It's a miracle also if you could get water to come out hitting you. So the Shemi Shmu answers, that's the Avnei Nezer, the Sakachava Rav's, his son. The Shemi Shmuel, he points out, is because it's a foundation in life that when you're starting to imbue something with Kedusha for the first time, you need a lot of effort. You got to work very hard to get them to create a status of Kedusha, of holiness. Once you have it, so then just to maintain is much easier. I'll give you an example from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, made famous in the Rambam, in Maimonides' Sefer. It's not the Rambam's Chiddush. He's just quoting. The Rambam explains, and the Gemara is as follows, that we know when the Jewish people entered the land of Israel, so when did the land get its holiness? Of course, there's a general holiness in the land of Israel, but when did it reach a higher level of holiness? So it says the first 7 years they conquered it, the next 7 years they divided the land. And year 15 was year one for Truma, the Kedushas Haaretz of Truma, Meiser, all the mitzvahs atuyas Baaretz, most of them didn't begin. Chalul, we'll see, was an exception to the rule, but all of them didn't begin until year 15. It took 14 years to imbue the land with Kedushas Haaretz. And then what happened? They got thrown out, and then Ezra came back and sanctified the land again. He sanctified it by resettling on the land, and the land right away. They didn't have a 14-year gap. Right when he came back and did the chazakah, the land had its kedusha again. So Rav Chaim asked, he said, I don't get it. How come in the first time when Yeshua came in and they imbued the land with kedusha, it took 14 years to do it? But when they came back in the time of Ezra, it happened right away. So Rav Chaim answers, because when you're imbuing the land with Kedusha for the first time, you're starting something new, afresh. That takes a lot of work. Kol haskolas kushos. All beginnings are difficult. And therefore it takes a lot of work. And therefore it took 14 years. Finally, we did it in year 15. But when Ezra came back, he was just reactivating the Kedusha that was originally there. So that's much easier. So same thing here with Moshe Rabbeinu. It took, when you're beginning, it took the 40 years to get the Jewish people, 1 year, 2 years, he got them accustomed to being independent. And finally, before he was going to pass on and give over to Yoshua, so finally they reached a level of Oz Yoshia Yisrael. And in fact, I'm sure it's not coincidental that, you know, at least we call it, in America, July 4th weekend is, you know, known as Independence Day. And that's also, usually Parshas Chukas usually comes out around Independence Day. And that's why, because that's what we learned from this week's Parsha, from the Shemin HaTov and others, that the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu was, like all Jewish leaders, in the beginning, when you have, there's a time for pampering and teaching and holding hands, but the ultimate goal of any successful parent, teacher, mentor, rabbi, is that the congregants, the students, they'll be able to function without you. And that's the goal, and that's the great. Why was Moshe left out? Because he was left out to show that he was the most successful teacher of the Jewish people, and he was able to have the Jewish people come on their own and learn to sing the Shira. So we'll summarize. We started off talking about the greatness that the Jewish people survived Mimalo Miderach HaTeva. For 40 years, they lived on the Mun, the Mayim, from the water, and the Anei HaKavod. And as the Ramban explains, everything God does in a miracle. But things that happen all the time, we call nature. Things that happen once in a while, we call miraculous. We would call Mun from heaven miraculous, but the Jewish people thought planting trees and food, that was miraculous. They weren't used to it. And that's what it was throughout the desert. And we only have a holiday of the Anei HaKavod because that showed God's love for us. If you take someone out, you put them in a desert, you got to give them food and water. That doesn't show love. That just shows common decency. When you do extra for someone, that shows their love. And that's why Sukkot gets its only holiday, the Anei HaKavod. So we said, and the man at least gets Zechol Man every Shabbos when we cover up the challah. But even though the water didn't get a holiday, but it gets its own Shira. And we contrasted Shiras Hayam with Shiras Hamayim. Why is the Oz Yashia Moshe over the Yisrael? But here it's only Oz Yashia Yisrael. So the first answer Rashi gave is not to embarrass Moshe. Kavod Moshe, we don't want to remember the sin of the water, so we left him out. However, the Shemin and Tov and others explained that no, it's the greatness of Moshe's leadership, that in the beginning they needed Moshe. He had to teach him how to sing a Shira. But 40 years later, the ultimate test of a leader, he was able to have them all ready in Oz Yashia Yisrael, the Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. And that's why it took, in the beginning, 14 years to imbue the land. But 15, you know, but when Ezra came back, they were ready. That's the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why he was the ultimate leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, the ultimate teacher. He was able to give the lesson, and the Jewish people were able to continue to sing a shir with Adam, and then ultimately Yoshua was able to take them into the land of Israel. Any questions?